This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hi, Doris. Welcome to Q&A with the Dean. My name is Cynthia, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today, I have the privilege of speaking with the wonderful Dean of Commons, Dr. Grisolfi. So, Dr. Grisolfi, before we dive into our interview, I just wanted to ask if you could share a memorable moment on campus that made you smile this week.
This week, let's see. I have lots of moments that make me smile. I was just at, so we have international student orientation leaders. Probably, unless you're an international student, you might not know that. As you might imagine, their work is done for the semester. And so all of the international students we had a little celebration for them to thank them for all of their work. And so I was at their celebration, and they created paper plate awards for each other, and they gave them out at the celebration. And I just loved it. I didn't really understand most of them because there were a lot of inside jokes and I was not privy to the joke. But what I could see was like their genuine, like the way they had come together as a community and that they were friends, and like, it was just a really happy moment. It brought me great joy.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm sure that they enjoyed their time together. And on that note of like happiness, I wanted to ask, and I'm sure that our listeners are actually curious too, about your reunion with Toby and Shadow. Can you tell us about that, the story behind that experience?
Yeah, so for listeners who did not see my frantic email, our dogs, Toby and Shadow, got out of the yard. And first of all, they didn't have their collars on because they were in the backyard. And then second of all, it was me who did not latch the gate. The back gate is really sticky, like it's really tight. And so you have to pull it really hard to latch it. And I thought that I had, but obviously I had not. And Shadow, if it's not latched, can open it and tries to open it regularly. Like he tries to open it all the time. So it was totally my fault. It was probably only 10 minutes that, like, max before Ansel, who's my oldest, noticed that they were missing. And, you know, this is not the first time they've gotten out of the yard. But usually Toby doesn't go very far and Shadow runs over to the dumpster by Memorial because there are delicious treats. And so they were worried but not panicked. And so they couldn't find them at first. And also Toby can't hear anymore because he's old. So and he's the one who's like well behaved, right? So like he's deaf. And anyway, so I wasn't home at the time, and they couldn't find them. I got a million phone calls. I came home and we could not find them anywhere. And hence when I sent the email to the Commons listserv, because I was like, well, 1600 eyes are better than three. And so maybe someone else has seen them. And but they're not dogs that run usually. You know, there's some dogs who run. Yeah. They're not. They're more like, let's explore. And then we started driving everywhere. We really couldn't find them. So we finally figured out like someone has picked them up. And we hoped it was someone who had picked them up to keep them safe and not someone who had picked them up because they were like, ooh, I'd like two spaniels, you know. So it ended up that, in fact, it was the former. So people found them on 17th. So they had gone on a new adventure into the street. And I think it was actually almost as soon as they only got to 17th. We live on 18th, right? So it wasn't a very big adventure. Okay. So three people picked them up and put them in their backyard to keep them safe, and then almost immediately posted on Nextdoor. But I'm not on Nextdoor, and I'm so not on Nextdoor that even though I know it exists, I forgot it existed. And so instead, I activated every single like network I have, and so I emailed the listserv, I emailed the Hillsborough listserv, I like emailed all these places, and then it was Dr. Castillo, Professor Castillo's partner, wife, said, you should call Blue Pearl, which is the emergency, because I also, of course, texted all the faculty heads, can't find the dogs. So Blue Pearl is an emergency vet, and they said, you should call, because it was a Sunday, of course, so like nobody's open except the emergency vet. Anyway, I called. They said, well, we haven't heard of any missing pets, but, you know, give us the info. And the people who found the dogs, when they'd had them for like an hour and still not heard anything on Nextdoor, they called Blue Pearl because they you can microchip dogs. Oh, yeah. So they thought, we'll bring the dogs in to see if they're chipped. Our dogs are chipped. But they didn't have their collars on, so they had no way of knowing. Anyway, so when they called Blue Pearl, they're like, oh, these two dogs match the description. So then they texted us. And here's the really sad thing that happened. So there's like these Facebook pet finder pages for Nashville. So I posted that they were lost. And you have to put your number, right?
Yeah.
And I actually had like three different people. I don't know why I'm so like shocked. But anyway, text me to be like, I found your dog. And I was like, really? And they're like, send me this number and I will tell you where I am and you can come get them. And oh. I was like, are you scamming me? Like trying to scam me over my lost dog? Like, this is terrible. Like, I don't know. That felt like deplorable to me. Yeah. But anyway, so then when this person texted me, the first thing they said was like, are these your dogs? And then like nothing. And I was like, oh my God, here we go again.
Yeah.
And then there was a voicemail from this person. It's like, I think we have them. They're Toby. Anyway, so they weren't very far.
That's good.
They actually had a fabulous time with these three young people who had kept them. They had dog treats and water and they played with them. And so by the time, you know, we got there, the dogs were like, this is great. Can we have more adventures?
I'm glad they were like safe and sound and nothing happened to them.
Thank you. Yeah. It was like 2 hours before we found them. So it was very stressful 2 hours, but we were also, Sunday was my birthday.
Oh my gosh.
After we found them, when we all recovered, Ansel, my oldest, is like, Mom, this has been a terrible birthday. And I was like, actually, we have the dogs back. But like, that wasn't the auspicious start to my birthday I would have liked.
Yeah. Well, at least you got them back and you got to resume your birthday activities.
I did, yes.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
So on that more personal note, I did want to ask, like, what do you do, like, as Dean of Commons, you have a very tight and demanding schedule throughout the academic year. So I was just curious about what do you do to unwind when campus is quieter and what does that transition look like for you?
Well, actually, I try really hard to make sure I make time to unwind even when you all are here because it can be kind of a crazy pace because I'm Dean of Commons, I'm Dean of Residential Colleges, I'm still a professor in teaching and learning. And so if I don't build in some downtime, I actually like am a nightmare. And so, but I will say the breaks are noticeably different on campus. It gets really quiet. And so I am much more likely to walk the dogs on campus when students are gone, because sometimes Shadow will bark. And like, that's really not the way I want to be in the world. Right. I don't want this like barking dog. So I'm definitely walk the dogs a lot more around campus. The kids also ride their bikes a lot more around campus. But also sometimes on breaks we leave too, because I can be a little bit of a workaholic, which I do not think is healthy. And so, when your house is 20 feet from your office, you're like, well, I'm just going to run over for like 1 hour. And, you know, that's a terrible thing to do. You should really take breaks. And so, for example, for fall break, we are actually going, we have this, there's this little town in Florida that's drivable from Nashville. And we've gone down there. This will be our third year in a row and we really love it. And so we'll just go down there. It's called Blue Mountain Beach. And we're going to do that for fall break. And that's a really nice break because honestly, I'm not taking my laptop onto the beach. It will ruin it, right? And so like, I feel like I can say I'm out of the office. The campus is quiet. We treat it a little bit more like a park when we stay. Okay. The kids also sometimes have bigger play dates because, you know, they can like have lots of kids on the lawn, on the front lawn, and feel like they can have the run of the place.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, definitely like just resting from that like such demanding schedule is definitely needed. And on that note of, tips and tricks, do you have any advice to those freshmen that are kind of struggling to find their place at Vandy and kind of adjusting to that college life?
Yes. This is the time of year when this starts to come up more because, you know, we've been here now for 5 weeks, I think it is, the fifth week of the semester. And, some people are lucky and they just kind of like hit it off with people in their hall or their roommate. But sometimes that doesn't happen for people. And I just, first of all, need to say that is just random luck, right? Like yeah. That's all it is random luck. And so for the people who don't have a proximity friend, this is the time where people are like, I am tired of not really having found someone I really like yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it feels like a really long time to have gone without finding someone they really like yet. And so it's actually, this is the time of year when I often get a lot of people who come to my office hours, and it turns out that it's about this very thing. And it's about just feeling lonely and feeling like I haven't found my place. I haven't made my connection. Maybe I made the wrong choice is what people often conclude. And I think it's just such a, like such an understandable way to feel, and also a little premature to be worried. And so what I say to students is, first of all, like first and foremost, the longest hours are lonely hours. Like the worst feeling in the world is to feel lonely. And so I don't want to minimize that for anyone, because it is truly terrible. And I speak from great experience. I had a very difficult freshman year. I felt very lonely and very homesick. Oh, for months, like for the whole first semester, and well into the second semester as well. And also, like, I never ate a meal alone. I did every single student org. I mean, I was very busy. And so I was almost never alone, but I was very lonely, because I really didn't feel like I had found a person that I connected with, even though I had found plenty of people to spend time with, if that distinction makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally. I can relate.
And so, you know, what I now, from the vantage point of being 46 and not 18, what I can understand is that actually 5 weeks is no time to meet people, actually. Like, especially if you're someone who is a little bit quiet, or if, like, so for me, there are these, I was just thinking about this last night as I was walking home across campus. There are these like very age specific social dynamics in the ways that people interact. And in this undergraduate community, there's a lot of like high energy, like small talk that yeah. brings people together. And I am actually now really good at small talk, but I was pretty terrible at small talk at 18. And small talk is still not the thing. I don't feel like I really learned very much about people through small talk. So it is like, it is a necessary social glue that has never made me feel connected to people. Other people don't feel that way, right? Like everybody gets to have their own opinions about that. So, but anyway, when I was a first year student, especially, I was like, I don't know why all these other people feel so happy with this dynamic, but like, this is doing nothing for me. And at the time it made me feel inadequate, that there was something wrong with me, that everyone else seemed to be just fine. And I'm not fine. There must be some reason that I'm not fine. And now again, like, cause now I'm 30 years older than that, almost, I can say there's nothing wrong with me. That just wasn't a way that I connected with people. And that it takes me longer. It doesn't take me long at all to have a chat with people. I'm very social, but it takes me a long time, I now understand, to feel connected to people. It's not because I'm weird, which was what I definitely thought was true about myself when I was 18. Like, there's something weird about me. No, it's just who I am. Maybe I am weird, but like, I've come to accept it. So those are the people I think there's a lot of people like me in the world who don't feel fulfilled with more casual social interaction and need a deeper connection. But the reality is deeper connections take more time, especially if you're quiet, right? So at least I was like chatty, but if you're quiet and you need a deeper connection, that's going to take even more time. And again, like to disentangle the feeling of loneliness, which is a real true thing, from all the other negative self-talk that you give yourself about why you're lonely, right? So you feel anxious about being lonely. You feel like there's something wrong with you because you're lonely. All these negative feelings, like that's what I think really creates some of the problems. And so I guess the advice that I like to give people is to just give yourself a little time and a little grace. I have met, again, I think this is my fifth year as Dean of Commons. I cannot tell you how many students I've had this conversation with in October. And then in March, they're like, so it's so much better right now. I was like, I know. I knew it would be. And I don't, again, I don't want to minimize how hard it is to feel that way. Like the distance between October and March is many months. But the hindsight from a senior, if you talk to seniors, like lots of seniors have this story. And the time feels very short in hindsight. So if we can just disentangle the real feeling of loneliness from the feeling about being mad at yourself or like negative self-talk about that loneliness, it will make it go better. I can also say everybody has lots of periods of loneliness over the lifespan. And one thing I've noticed the older I've gotten is that I am so much better now at identifying it. Like, oh, I'm feeling lonely. I hate this feeling. This is a terrible feeling. It feels no less terrible than it did when I was 18, but I feel a lot less anxious about it than I did when I was 18 because I understand what it is. I have great faith it's going to pass. And I can even now, because it happens at predictable times, understand why I'm feeling that way. And that self-knowledge really helps lower the anxiety about the feeling.
Totally agree. I feel like it's, those are some really good advice on like how to recognize that feeling of loneliness and like separate it from all these other things that come with the transition to college. And I'm sure that our listeners will apply these advice to their lives. Definitely I will, because I can relate and identify with some of the things that you talked about. So thank you, Dean Grisalfi. To end the interview on a more positive note, I just wanted to ask, what is like one thing that you envision in incorporating into the Commons in like the near future?
Well, near future, so I have this backpacking trip that actually now, because I never know when I'm talking in relation to when people are hearing this, it may have already happened in real time, but in my right now time, it hasn't happened. So we have this backpacking trip. We only have room for 10 people and there are 63 people on the wait list.
Oh.
And it's interesting because, I didn't know if anyone was going to want to come backpacking with me and Professor Pendergrass. I was like, I don't know if this will feel fun to anyone. Well, apparently lots of people would like to try that. And so I did say, well, apparently we maybe won't do another backpacking trip this semester because weather. But like maybe we need to at least do another hiking trip because it's clear to me that people are hungry for the opportunity to get off campus and get into some nature and have a little peace. So my schedule and our event schedule gets planned out months in advance. So I'm not 100% positive that we'll be able to make it work this semester to do a second hiking trip, but we will definitely do another hiking trip this year for sure. And we also have just like a whole field trip series. It's called Explore Nashville, and this backpacking trip is part of it, although obviously we're exploring beyond Nashville. But we have a lot of things coming up in the Explore series that I think are really fun. They're all intended to give students a chance to get off campus and just start to see Nashville and the surrounding areas like beyond Vanderbilt. So those are somewhat immediate. I will say next year on the Commons, it will be an election year. And so, right, because 2024, new presidential election. And so when we have an election year, we do a lot of programming about politics and debates and how we talk to each other when we have different opinions and like still stay friends. So that's like the long term coming up for next year.
Okay, I'm excited for this. I'll definitely be on the lookout for the hiking trips. And you should too, listeners. Thank y'all so much. Thank you, Dean Grisalfi, for sharing your wisdom and time with us. And be sure to tune in for the Commons calendar.
Hey, it's Zaria, and I'm back with this week's Commons calendar. To start off, the Office of Student Orgs and Leadership and Services will be having a service-based workshop today from 3 p.m. to 4 at the Leadership and Service Space, located at 2402 Vanderbilt Place. If you're interested in joining the Honor Council, there will be a recruitment info session tomorrow, October 12th, from 6 to 7 p.m. at Commons 335. Love me some flowers. Stop by Rand Patio on Friday the 13th to customize your own bouquet of fall flowers. A chance to win free tickets. Vandy's programming board is giving away tickets from Briston Morney on Saturday, October 14th, 7 p.m., located at the Brooklyn Bowl. You can fill out a form and win tickets for you and your friend. The Women's Soccer Club will be playing against the University of Tennessee, Knoxville on Saturday, October 15th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., at the Restoration Field 2 Turf Field. Come and support. In need of any type of relaxation, the Center for Student Well-Being will be holding a 30-minute meditation practice on Monday, October 16th, from 1:15 to 1:45. And this will be taking place in the meditation room at the Center for Wellbeing. Accountability Hour will be held at the Student Wellbeing Center on Tuesday, October 17th from 4 to 6 p.m. That's all for this week's Commons Calendar. For more news and entertainment, visit mycommons.life and follow the Instagram at mycommons.life. Till next time, bye!
Hi Doors, welcome to the Human of the Commons interview. My name is Lauren and today I'm going to be talking with Nelly Chavez, a sociology major originally from Houston. So how's your day been, Nelly?
Oh, it's been incredible. I have gotten so much work done today. Just kind of ready to chill, just end the day on a good note.
Okay. Can I ask you what work that was?
Yes. So I've been working on Python. This is my first time having like any sort of, experience with Python, and it has been so stressful, but we are working on it. We are not quitting. We are going to push through. So I've just kind of been working on that. And yes, I think that's been it for today, but it just feels like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just for context, we're filming this or recording this in the afternoon. So yeah. You've been hard at work, but I appreciate and admire the commitment and also the positive attitude despite the stress.
Of course. Yes, thank awesome. You.
So, like, it's kind of unbelievable to me, at least, that we're already halfway through our eighth week. So that means we're halfway through first semester. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, I honestly, it feels like so much longer. It feels like trice that. Like, it just yeah. feels like so long. I think that initially, I thought that time was going to fly by, and I'm sure that's the case for some people, that they just have so much going on that it just feels like every day is flying by. But that hasn't been the case for me, and it's kind of stressful because it just feels like every day just drags on. It's kind of the same thing every single day. So definitely, hopefully that'll change in the future, but yeah, 8 weeks is crazy.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you about the same thing every day. I feel like the weekends feel the same as weekdays because a lot of times I'll be studying like the same amount, even if I do like different things outside of that. But yeah, no, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I think like a lot of people do say, oh, the days are long, but the weeks are short. And it sounds like that's not the case for you.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I feel like every day, or at least on my weekdays, I'm not a partier by any means. So I'm definitely like holed up in Buttrick and Central. So yeah, no, the days are long. And even though like I'm constantly like trying to do work in that time, like it just goes on and it feels like it's never going to end.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay. I actually did want to ask you about study spots. And since you mentioned it, you said Buttrick and Central. Where are your favorite places to study so far on campus?
So definitely Buttrick, especially on the weekends, since you could kind of like sneak in there. Mm-hmm. I like going up to the third floor. And for me, what really helps me like really internalize the material that I'm learning is vocalizing it. So having that ability to be in an empty room, in an empty classroom, and like actually say what it is that I'm learning as if I was teaching it to somebody, even though that I'm not teaching it to anybody, maybe myself. Mm-hmm. That definitely helps. And most of the time, the rooms up there are pretty empty. So you don't have to really worry about people like coming in and like looking at you weird for just talking to yourself. And then Central, definitely nice. I wouldn't recommend, especially on the seventh floor, or I guess from the fourth floor to the seventh floor, probably not the best idea to like talk out loud, especially when other students are in your general vicinity. However, on the seventh floor, they have these really nice cubicles. And I find that if you're looking to have no distractions whatsoever, you could kind of like centralize yourself in that cubicle area and look just like straight into the gray background that there is and just have a fun time with that and do your classwork, of course. And I think I would say those are my two favorite spots. I find myself getting really distracted very easily. So that's why I don't tend to like go to Central, like the fourth floor, like where everybody is. At the beginning of the semester, I was really, I like to go to Peabody, but it was too distracting for me. So just staying away from there for now. But yeah, definitely Central and Buttrick.
Okay. Yes. This is like good information for me too, because I've been too scared to go into libraries because they're so quiet. Like I tried Stevenson, I think it was earlier this week, last week. And I was like in there for, I only had 30 minutes between my, like, I think it was office hours in my next class. And I was like scared to unzip my backpack because it was so quiet. So, and then I've tried to go into Central, but I did find that spot. I know exactly what you're talking about with the cubicles.
Yes.
It looks really depressing when you approach it, but yeah. It's actually, the chairs are pretty comfortable.
True.
Yeah, but so is Buttrick, you said classrooms, do they actually have classes in there during the week?
Yes, okay, actually.
So it's and a functioning building.
Yeah, I, at the beginning of the semester, I ended up having to switch the course, but I had an elementary Arabic class up there, and that's kind of how I knew. I think if I hadn't been in that building before, I probably wouldn't have attempted to go up there to study. But yeah, for sure. There's classes during the day, so I haven't been there. While there's spots along the classrooms, like in front of the classrooms, where you could definitely do work. But again, with me, with being easily distracted, probably not the best choice for me. But if you're looking for a spot that has some foot action or pedestrians going by and that doesn't bother you, then that's definitely a good spot as well.
Okay, yeah, super good advice, thank you for sharing. I'm gonna be checking that out when I get the courage. So like we were talking about earlier how we feel like we're in this bubble here on campus, especially because you and I think we're both a little bit less into the nightlife of Nashville, which is a big draw off campus. So if you're not doing that, you know, you do feel kind of stuck here. That's so true. I heard that you explored Nashville a little bit, at least at the beginning of the semester.
Yes.
What have you explored off campus so far?
So far, I can't say I've explored too much, but I have been to the Frisk Art Museum. And I have to say, although it was kind of a hassle getting there, mm-hmm. I didn't want to use Uber. And I kind of wanted to test out the public transport here in Nashville, and was kind of difficult because there's so much construction going on in the area. But I was able to get there eventually, and it was beautiful. The day that I went, there weren't a lot of exhibitions, but it was really nice. You got to see works of art from students, I believe, as well. They have this area specific where it's student submissions, and not specific to Vanderbilt, just students, high school students from high schools in the area. And that was really nice. It wasn't very crowded that day. I went on a Saturday. Definitely would recommend. I think now they have more exhibitions, so definitely more to look at. I also went to Centennial Park a couple weeks ago. It's super close to campus, but I, for some reason, I just couldn't garner up the courage to get over there. But it's really nice. You have the occasional musician playing. Always nice to get hear a little bit of that. And then the sight, and especially during sunset, it's definitely a sight to behold, I would say. And there's a lot, if you're ever looking to see more than Vanderbilt students, there's so many students or so many people there that aren't students. So it's definitely nice to see, I guess, more than Vanderbilt, more than students, normal people. Yeah. So I would definitely recommend that. I might go to Frisk Art Museum this weekend. We'll see how that pans out. But as of now, I think those have been the two main spots, maybe my two favorite spots that I've been to.
Okay. I like the vibe that you're kind of creating here. I'm seeing Art Museum and Centennial at sunset. But yeah, that's
beautiful.
That's pretty cool.
It's beautiful.
I agree. I haven't been to the museum or to Centennial at sunset.
Mm.
But it is really nice that we have that right across from Zappos. And I agree with you about seeing people off campus. I like will wander. I think I was telling so many people about this. I accidentally walked to Kroger twice in one walk because I was just trying to get into like neighborhoods and like see actual humans who weren't going to Vanderbilt. So yeah, I feel that. But I guess another thing that I was wondering about, you were in band in high school, right?
Oh, I was.
Was it the marching band?
Yes.
So did you bring, first of all, what instrument did you play? And then did you bring it here?
So I was, I don't know if I'm proud to say it, but I was a clarinet player once upon a time.
A little bit of Squidward action.
Yeah, for sure. So I did bring it, but I have to admit that I have not touched it. I have not opened the case since I brought it. And I think that has to do a lot with me being having a fear first, not having enough time, because I'm really trying to like hone in on this, like my courses and everything. But I think that there's also a part of me that's kind of like scared, like I'm not going to be as good as I was when I left. I mean, so there's definitely a little bit of that, but I'm thinking about potentially sometime, maybe next semester, if the opportunity arises, to join, I believe it's called the Commodore Orchestra community band. I feel like it would be very beneficial, and music is something that I really enjoyed while I was in high school, and especially jazz. And I know that they have an ensemble, but it's not a community ensemble, so probably won't be able to get into that. But music, I love it so much. So I think maybe we'll see how this semester goes, and then I'll probably open up the case sometime soon.
Yeah.
No,
I go hope explore. To hear it. I hope to hear it. I feel like one thing here that just brings to mind, do you feel like you've lost a lot of your hobbies in the transition to college?
For sure. Okay. And it's kind of unfortunate. It's like, I don't know if this is the case for others, but it feels like you don't want to waste any time, even though it's really not a waste of time, but you don't want to waste any time doing something that's not school or academics. Because at the end of the day, that's, in my opinion, or that's kind of how my thinking was before I came here, and kind of now that I'm here, is that I'm here for academics and I'm here to kind of excel in that or do as good as I can in that. So I feel like I'm kind of thinking, well, if I do this, that's a hobby that's not related to academics, I'm kind of jeopardizing what it is that I'm here to do. So, but I'm sticking with the gym. Okay. I just have to say, like, my life is not depressing, and I'm not just, I don't have my head in the books all day. I do like to go to the gym, and I would advocate for anybody that's kind of feeling that way, that they're kind of losing, like, stuff they enjoy or are looking to explore something new, definitely go to the gym. I think it's I'm sure there's research behind it. I recall some research saying that it boosts, I believe, serotonin.
Yeah, just exercising.
Yeah. So I would very strongly recommend that. And it's not as intimidating as it may seem from the outside.
Is it called gymtimidation? Is that the term?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, but it's I guess it's just garnering up the courage to get there. And it's a trek. From Commons, it is a little bit of a walk. Around 20 minutes too, but once you're there, it's worth it.
Okay.
It's worth it.
Okay,
for sure.
Maybe bring a buddy. I think I feel like the rec center also has classes. If you don't know, if you don't want to be alone in there, you know, not knowing what to do, that would be me. I did cross country, and we usually got kicked out of the fitness center by the football team in high school. So I don't have a lot of experience there, but I appreciate your encouragement here.
For sure.
So, maybe a goal for everyone going into the second half of the semester is just to give ourselves time to do the things that we used to enjoy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that.
Well, thank you so much for talking today.
Of course. Nellie. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes. It was such a pleasure. So, and that's all for our interview today, Human of the Commons. Thanks for listening, everyone, to Commons Cast, and make sure to tune in again next week. So have a great week.
Commons Cast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of Student Media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to Commons Cast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.